It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather, and he who controls the weather will control the world.
If you believe the natural world we once knew seems off track, you are completely correct. Francis Bacon stated this: nature, to be commanded, must be obeyed. Our war against nature is a war against ourselves. The consequences of our war against nature are manifesting by the day. Of all the assaults that have been waged against the web of life by the human race, the climate engineering, aka weather warfare assault, is mathematically the greatest and most destructive. California is yet again incinerating. Now, even in November and in the eastern U.S., record cold temperatures are being engineered by the weather makers. There is no longer any natural weather, none. The entire global climate system has been completely disrupted and derailed by the ongoing and expanding climate engineering insanity. The West is going up in flames under an ionosphere heater-created dome of high pressure. What is an ionosphere heater? The HARP facility in Alaska is one example of many. For those that are unfamiliar with what an ionosphere heater is, I would recommend further investigation of that subject. You can do so at geoengineeringwatch.org. A massive cool down is being orchestrated in the eastern U.S. via the use of patented processes of chemical ice nucleation materials that are sprayed into storm moisture from jet aircraft. For those that have the courage and willingness to learn more about these subjects, go to geoengineeringwatch.org. Go to the homepage, examine the top toolbar, and click the Engineering Wildfires link and the Engineering Winter links. You can find out much, much more on these subjects that are affecting each and every one of us in the entire web of life. And none of this information is to say that there are not countless forms of human damage to the planet. There are. Anthropogenic or human activity has decimated our planet. Any and every form of human activity that affects the energy balance of the planet is a form of geoengineering. But the intentional effort to manipulate Earth's climate system, the most damaging and destructive of all. There's so much breaking frontline data to cover. The current cataclysms are not a climax of catastrophes. They are just the beginning. There's much more to consider. There's much more to contemplate. I'll get to headline breaking news in a moment. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for November 10th, 2018. This commercial-free program is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California, 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 to 7. And now it's rebroadcast again on Sunday mornings from 6 to 7 AM as well. Global Alert News is also rebroadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Recordings of the broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. If you're aware of any radio station that may be willing to pick up the commercial-free Global Alert News Hour, please let us know. We'll gladly provide the downloads of our broadcast to other stations for free. Our only goal is to sound the alarm. If you're in the Reading area, geoengineeringwatch.org informational materials can be picked up from Orchard Nutrition. For those not in the Reading area, the latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Two more quick announcements, and I'll get straight to what's unfolding in our increasingly chaotic world. Jim Fair, the staunch ally in the effort to expose and halt climate engineering, with a geoengineeringwatch.org fully stocked informational booth at each Jim Fair event. You can get into the events for free if you tell them at the ticket booth that you're there to pick up materials to help us sound the alarm on geoengineering. This week's event in Puyallup, Washington, started yesterday, ends tomorrow, Washington State Fair Event Center. Next week, Portland, Oregon, November 16th through November 18th, Oregon Convention Center. Week after, Monterey, California, November 24th through the 25th at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. Please help us at a grassroots level to expose and halt the climate engineering insanity. Final announcement, my most sincere thanks and gratitude to Nakisa and Imad for organizing the Arizona State University Geoengineering Watch Awareness event. My thanks also to all those that attended this event, including Nate, for his participation and his question. My thanks to everyone again that helped that event happen. Question, how many are there in our modern industrialized, militarized program societies that still possess the courage to care? How many who work for so-called social media organizations are playing the parts of paid cowards by censoring whatever their paymasters tell them to censor? And as I stated in the last broadcast, the censorship is getting worse by the day. Many have seen that Google has now placed an Encyclopedia Britannica definition of, quote, contrails under many geoengineeringwatch.org videos. They place this official disinformation banner directly under our video, even above our title, so that it looks like this disinformation is actually intended as a part of the post, which it, of course, is not. The Orwellian police state, the U.S. Empire, continues to control the narrative. So keep in mind who is actually putting the banners of disinformation below many of the geoengineeringwatch.org informational videos. The minions of the empire are doing this. Backtracking to last week on this same subject of censorship. For the record, here is what I said.
Consider this. Google has now completely removed the geoengineeringwatch.org official site from a Google search for geoengineering. So to be clear, based on our traffic ratings, Geoengineering Watch should be and was the top of the first page for a search of the geoengineering term for years. Now we have been completely removed from the 19 pages Google has available under the geoengineering search term. Gone. They moved us down steadily, page after page, and now we are gone.
I repeated this segment from last week's broadcast to make clear that what I stated was that our website, our homepage, is gone from a search of the geoengineering term. Many mistakenly apparently did not hear what I said, and they searched geoengineeringwatch.org, our website name, which of course does show our website. But again, that's not what I said. What I stated, and what I'm clarifying now, to repeat, the geoengineeringwatch.org website has been removed from a Google search of the geoengineering term. And that term matters. That's where people go when they see all the headlines from science sources and around the world about geoengineering. They search the geoengineering term, where because of our site traffic, we were and should still be at the top of that page or easily accessible to people to learn about the geoengineering cover-up. Now, geoengineeringwatch.org is gone from a search of the geoengineering term. Clarification. Needed to clear the record on that. Moving on. Yet another election cycle has come and gone. But is the election process legitimate? Why are all those who are elected, inevitably, in one way or another, beholden to those in power? In the words of author Greg Palast, we have the best democracy money can buy. Here's a case in point. Gavin Newsom, now governor, absolutely knows about climate engineering and has done exactly nothing to even disclose the geoengineering weather warfare assault, let alone to stop it. Gavin's personal objectives and pursuit of power are clearly his bottom line. For a more detailed report about Gavin and about my geoengineering presentation to him and his top aide in Gavin's office at the Capitol in California, at the state capitol, including my final email exchange with Gavin on the subject, check the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for the post just put up yesterday under the recent and top stories sections. The article is titled Governor Newsom, Geoengineering, and Record Wildfires. The incineration of the U.S. West and other locations around the globe is not a natural phenomenon in any way, shape, or form. Global warming, though real, is also not the core cause of the record burning. Illegal climate engineering operations are. That's the core cause. What does available research data allow us to state with certainty about the never-ending droughts and record fires? That they're a direct result of climate engineering operations. The same illegal geoengineering operations are being used to artificially cool down the most populated regions in the eastern U.S. The situation is complicated. The equation is complicated. There are many layers. Again, go to the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage, go to the top toolbar, and investigate the engineering wildfires section and the engineering winter sections. Top toolbar homepage. When will the public finally be willing to look up and face the climate engineering assault? When will the public finally be willing to do their part to legally and morally hold accountable all those in media, agencies, and elected offices? Should be, must be held accountable for their part in the climate engineering cover-up. Whether actively or passively, it matters not. If they're a part of it, they need to be exposed, and that will take all of us. The legions of order followers that are towing the line for the power structure in order to protect their paychecks and their pensions must be exposed. Here's a question for all those that are playing such a part. How much will your paycheck and pension matter on a dead planet? Does that question even need to be answered? As been stated so many times in this broadcast, climate engineering fallout is also contaminating every breath we take with highly toxic heavy metals. Follow me through with the following string of dots. We'll connect them when we're done. First, consider this critically important report from earlier this year from the jbhandleyblog.com and other sources. International scientists have found autism's cause. What will Americans do? Think about that. Consider that title. An excerpt from the report. Aluminum is a demonstrated neurotoxin and the most commonly used vaccine adjuvant, an additive. Think about that. What sane person would allow aluminum to be injected into their system? Continuing from the report, despite almost 90 years of widespread use of aluminum adjuvants, medical science's understanding about their mechanisms of action is still remarkably poor. These are the additives they're referring to. There is also a concerning scarcity of data, not by accident, by the way, on toxicology and pharmacokinetics of these components, the additives. In spite of this, the notion that aluminum in vaccines is safe appears to be accepted. Experimental research, however, clearly shows that aluminum adjuvants or additives have a potential to induce serious immunological disorders in humans. In particular, aluminum adjuvants carry the risk of autoimmunity long-term brain inflammation associated with neurological complications and thus have profound and widespread adverse health consequences. How hard is this to connect the dots on? Final excerpts from this report. Aluminum adjuvants, i.e. additives, cause immune activation and are far more neurotoxic than previously believed. And this, aluminum compounds are the most common adjuvants used in vaccinations, the most common additive, aluminum. Now consider this. We all know aluminum is raining down through our breathable air column. We have lab tests from all over the globe to prove this fact. We know that this aluminum dust is not coming from China. CARB, California Air Resources Board testing, has proven that. Aluminum is not migrating across the Pacific. We know that even insects are being decimated from this aluminum fallout. Search bees/aluminum, and you'll find peer-reviewed science study to prove bees are dying from massive aluminum exposure that's giving them symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in humans. We know that the primary element named in primary climate engineering patents, for example, is aluminum. We know that the world's most recognized geoengineer, Dr. David Keith, has stated the goal of geoengineering to spray 10 to 20 megatons, that's 10 to 20 million tons, of aluminum nanoparticulates, the most lethal form of particulate because they're so small, into the atmosphere annually. So, given the verifiable conclusion that highly toxic heavy metals like aluminum are in fact saturating our breathable air column, now consider this next headline report. Connect the dots. Here it is. Study links autism to toxic air pollutants. From SBS News and other sources. Here's an excerpt from that report. Children aged up to 3 years are the most at risk of developing autism when exposed to toxic air pollutants, a new Australian study shows. How long can we keep our heads in the sand, collectively? How long will the population pretend that everything's fine because the so-called experts in the medical, industrial, pharmaceutical community that are paid to toe the line for that industry, how long will the population still collectively ignore their own sense of reason, ignore the facts like those I've just exposed, and stick with the herd, injuring their own children in so many cases? And those that have hidden from the autism vaccination, and including now air particulates, toxic air particulates, with the heavy metals directly related to climate engineering, those who ignore those facts and go on pretending they're being good parents, please, please, stop and consider what your role is as a parent. You don't own your life anymore. Your life's not about trying to pretend everything's normal so you don't have any disruption in your life or so that you don't have to face anything unpleasant in your life. Your job, your role, your responsibility, your obligation is to protect that child. You do not own your life anymore. You owe it to your child. We owe our lives to all our children. We owe our lives to the web of life, without which we would not be here. Please find the courage to examine the facts. I never, ever ask, I never will ask anyone to believe anything I'm stating, but I do ask you to please investigate. It's our responsibility. Again, moving on. Consider this report from the founder of Stop5G.net. Hundreds of birds dead during 5G experiment in The Hague, the Netherlands. People should be unimaginably alarmed at the 5G scenario. And this is not the first time such incidents have been reported. Absolutely not. There are many cases of mass bird deaths just falling from the sky. Are massive radio frequency, aka microwave transmissions, a factor? How could they not be? How could they not be a factor? And let's remember and consider that microwave transmissions being used as a part of the ongoing climate engineering insanity are much more powerful than the communications transmissions. I hope people that are fighting the communications transmissions, rightfully so, consider that. That these communications towers are being fed with, in many cases, 10 times more power than they need for communications because they're being used for climate engineering. So let's include all the facts in the equation. Climate engineering is directly related to the radio frequency microwave dangers, absolutely related, on the biggest scale of all, in fact. On that note, consider this. How dangerous are radio frequency transmissions and the exposure for our children? Consider these several headline reports. Wi-Fi in schools proven dangerous, from the Center for Electrosmog. Next headline report, Wi-Fi in schools and the health effects of microwaves. Next, dangers of public Wi-Fi. Just a sampling of some of the reports. And consider that, of course, official sources will downplay all of this. They'll tell you everything is fine. Go back to sleep. Now, consider the lethal combination of electrically conductive heavy metals that we are all absorbing with every breath we take and the rapidly increasing exposure to lethal microwave transmissions. We are all becoming more electrically conductive. It's not my opinion, it's a fact. These particles are building up in us. Every properly done blood, hair, and urine test reveals the buildup of these metals. They're very bioavailable in this tiny nanoparticulate form that's used with climate engineering. And they're very bioaccumulative, which means they build up in our systems. This is, again, something that can't rationally be disputed when the facts are examined. With all this in mind, and the dangers of the radio frequency microwave transmissions, what's the wireless industry telling us in their latest 5G ads? Quote, "Forget everything you ever heard about 5G. I think that's from Horizon. And that's exactly what the collective insanity that runs the criminal corporate world wants you to do. Dump your sense of reason, abandon your common sense, your sense of responsibility to the whole, to your children, and embrace the official lies. Go on about your personal pursuit of pleasure and tell yourself that someone, somewhere in the government, in the corporate world is doing the right thing and that they would tell you if there was any danger." That couldn't be further from the truth. When will the population understand that? And we are very, very close to 0 hour on many fronts. The collective insanity is pulling the noose around our collective necks. That's the fact of the matter from countless directions, because they know the current paradigm cannot be maintained for much longer. When will they play their biggest cards? We'll see. More on that in a few moments. More headlines from the Weather Underground and other sources of disinformation. Climate change likely to increase frequency of extreme summer weather from stuck jet stream patterns. From that report, and then I'll elaborate on why it's such complete disinformation. Here's the headline. Climate change likely to increase frequency of extreme summer weather from, quote, stuck jet stream patterns. Here's an excerpt from that report, then I'll elaborate. Massive wildfires torched tender dry California this summer after the state experienced its hottest month on record in July. The record heat was caused by an unusually extreme jet stream pattern that brought a persistent and highly intense ridge of high pressure over the western U.S. The Mendocino Complex fire became the largest fire in modern history in California based on official CAL FIRE data beginning in 1932. The CAR FIRE was the sixth most destructive fire on the record in the state, having destroyed 1,604 structures. Total fire damage in California was more than $1 billion, and that's increasing right now. Right now as I speak. And the same exact stuck jet stream pattern, the ridiculously resilient ridge of high pressure that is not natural, that's a direct result of global ionosphere heaters, which I encourage listeners at the beginning of this broadcast to look up and understand. These facilities are real. This isn't speculation, theory, or conjecture. These facilities are real. And those who know about the HARP facility, that's only one of perhaps 100 such facilities around the globe. And there are other facilities like SBX radar, sea-based X-band radar, and other land-based networks that amount to giant HARP grids when they're looked at collectively. Radio frequency microwave transmission is directly responsible for the high-pressure domes. How do they do this? They heat the ionosphere. It causes an electrical chain reaction. It causes massive heating in the ionosphere that pushes down on the air mass, that creates a high-pressure dome, compresses air, creates heat, and the high-pressure domes in the northern hemisphere rotate clockwise. I've been over this in many broadcasts. That spins the moisture that would have come into California up and around California, where it's chemically nucleated to begin cooling it down to help facilitate engineered cool downs in the East Coast. California, at absolute minimum, is a climate sacrifice zone. Again, the article I posted yesterday that includes information on now Governor Gavin Newsom covers all of this with maps from NOAA, who is getting their mapping from Raytheon. That's a primary geoengineering contractor. All the data is there. Please investigate. If you think these conditions are normal, or you have people around you telling you it's normal and you want to believe that, please think for yourself. Think for yourself. Those who cling to the it's all normal, it's all the cycle, it's all just going to come and go, that's not going to happen. It's getting worse. How long have we warned about this at geoengineeringwatch.org? How long? Search Engineered Drought Catastrophe Target California from nearly 5 years ago that I did. That is as relevant now as it was then. That presentation is in the post I mentioned earlier. That's relates to Gavin Newsom as well. Look at the data. Think for yourself. Stop believing those around you or feeling pressure from those around you to just simply ignore everything and go on about your life. That's a monumental mistake. That's a recipe for certain planetary omnicide, and that is absolutely the course we are on. I've covered again and again and again the freeze-fry scenarios being created not just in the U.S. but all over, the weather whiplash scenarios that are now becoming the norm, and the disinformation agencies like the Weather Channel, power structure-owned Weather Channel, whose job it is to cover the tracks of the climate engineers. Those in power control the message. That's easily verified. We've gone from 50-plus mainstream media sources in recent decades to 5. They're centralizing the flow of information from top to bottom. That's the fact of the matter. In the case of the ridiculously resilient ridge over California, and we have official sources now trying to tell us that the drought really started in 2012. That's not true. We started to see these longer, drier, hot summers most profoundly in 2007. What happened in 2007 that seems distant or not connected to California? That's very, in fact, very connected. 2007 was the first year that Arctic ice was the extent was heading straight down. Massive melt-off. It's been melting all along. Climate engineers have very destructively been trying to hide that fact. But 2007 was the first major downturn. And immediately after that, this pattern that's set up now, this dome over the west that spins the moisture around us, that's chemically nucleated, cooled off, cools up down the East Coast, and then is pumped up toward the Arctic, which helps them to temporarily and toxically cool parts of the Arctic, helps the geoengineers to mask the extent of polar implosion. And for those who are still denying that fact, why are you doing this? What motive do you have? Is it just ideology? Facts are facts. None of us like Al Gore. I don't like Al Gore. But, and his data is wrong. I've stated this over and over, but it's far worse than anything Al Gore said. Far worse. I'm asking people who truly have an interest in fighting climate engineering to acknowledge the fact that the planet's in total meltdown. This is an abrupt climate collapse. Climate engineering is making it worse, not better overall, and that these major cool downs are not natural. They are not natural. They're a result of climate engineering, jet stream manipulation, and chemical ice nucleation. And what's happening in California right now is connected, even to the cool downs, because at minimum we are used for a climate sacrifice zone. And these are patented processes, by the way, all of that available at geoengineeringwatch.org, including the patents with critical sections highlighted so you don't have to go through all of it. But understand, whatever other issues we're focused on and how many people focused on the political theater that's so incredibly absurd, that is going on and that's what everybody is focusing on if it's not football games, while the planet is literally either going down in flames or being subjected to chemically nucleated cool downs, unnatural cool downs that flash burn foliage, that do immense damage to what's left of the wildlife, what's left of the environment. How insane is it that our society is so distracted by completely manufactured political theater, and that's what the elections are? Sorry if you think electing this person or that person is going to change everything. That's simply not reality. It's not reality. I don't care what political party you're in. It doesn't matter. Two sides of the same coin, both orchestrated from the same puppet masters. And that's the fact of the matter. If you want to help, focus on the wider horizon. Focus on what those in power are trying to distract you from. So to reiterate, while the West goes up in flames again, a major engineered winter cool down is being carried out by the climate engineers in the central and eastern U.S. Moving on. Recent mainstream media reports from paid-off sources are trying to pacify the population by claiming the ozone layer is recovering. This lie comes and goes. Here's the truth. Geoengineering is destroying the ozone layer. To learn more about this subject, search the exact statement I just made. Geoengineering is destroying the ozone layer. To be clear, if the ozone layer collapses, we die. And on the current course, that is only years away, mathematically speaking, on the current trajectory. And that doesn't mean that everything stays fine until the ozone layer totally collapses. The environment is imploding now. Plankton, krill, dying now. Without those two elements, we die. That's the basis. That's the bottom of the food chain for life on Earth. That is the primary source of oxygen production on the planet. And those organisms are down about 60%+, almost two-thirds. Right now, today, global oxygen content is plummeting. And we're watching political theater from every side of the fence with the most polarizing figures imaginable. And that's what media does. To infuriate and distract and polarize each side, they put the most offensive, polarizing figures as interviewees and spokesmen to so anger the opposite side of the fence that those groups can't think of anything else but continuing to watch the theater. That's the point for the power structure. They want you to look anywhere else but the horizon. Get past that. See through the smoke and mirrors while we can still do any good, because we are very close to the point where nothing else can be done. We don't want to get there. That's not a destination we want to be at. So considering the ozone layer destruction, what other source has decimated the ozone layer which we have not been told about? Here's some fun facts to consider. And remember this, No ozone layer, no life. This is an existential threat. From nuclearnews.net, this report, though not new, is more relevant today than ever. Here's the headline. Nuclear radiation depletes the ozone layer, will eventually destroy planet's oxygen. Consider the following facts. 1957, Walter Russell published his book Atomic Suicide, whose principal message was that the development of the nuclear weapons industry, if it continued, would eventually destroy the planet's oxygen for some of the reasons I just mentioned. 1982 and 1984, two German reports conclude that radioactive krypton, which is released in the daily operations of nuclear plants and through the reprocessing of used reactor fuel elements, is affecting the distribution of the electric fields in the atmosphere. Continue to follow me through with these various historical facts. Next, 1987 through 1988. Consensus has it that various man-made chemicals are the sole cause of ozone breakdown, especially compounds of chlorine, which are CFCs, and bromine. From halon fires, extinguishers, other sources of coolants, and there was an attempt to implicate hairspray and refrigerators as the primary cause of ozone destruction. A leading authority on the ozone problem, NASA's Dr. Robert Watson, admitted many scientists were, quote, baffled by findings of ozone depletion even in areas where CFC's action was negligible. He, Dr. Watson, called the extent of the hole's growth absolutely unexpected. Why was it unexpected? Because CFCs were not the core causal problem, and the science industry was paid and or pressured not to acknowledge the climate engineering elephant in the room, or, in this case also, the effect on the ozone layer by nuclear contamination. April 6, 1989, quote, scientists reported yesterday that for the first time they have detected an increase in biologically relevant levels of ultraviolet radiation reaching the ground as a result of the ozone hole over Antarctica. This is the first indication that the depletion of ozone is beginning to cause the potentially harmful effect that has long been predicted. Let's stop there. Massive levels of UV radiation are not potentially harmful. They are absolutely lethal. And we know from our own testing at geoengineeringwatch.org, part of which was done by a former NASA contract engineer, we know we're not only getting massive unreported levels of UVB on the ground, but we're getting significant levels of UVC, the last band of UV radiation before X-ray. This is an existential threat on top of everything else we've covered in this broadcast and others. Continuing, late 1990, University of California researchers published their findings that phytoplankton are reproducing less profusely than before, observing the plankton in the Bellingshausen Sea in Antarctica. They found that increased UV appears to be suppressing the phytoplankton's productivity significantly. Now, let's remember, immediately after World War II, climate engineering was fully deployed. The polar regions were the first place it was deployed. That's where the ozone destruction took place initially. It has spread widely since then, but this has been going on for a very, very, very long time. And with the total betrayal of so many in academia who should have reported this, no matter what the risk, they had an obligation to report this. They have not. And now we continue on to the place of no return with an experiment from which there is no return. That experiment is climate engineering. Moving on with the ozone destruction, and again, relating this also to the nuclear contamination and climate engineering, both primary causes of ozone destruction, not the CFCs that we've been led to believe. Complete red herring. CFCs are harmful, yes, but a very, very small mathematical part of the equation. 1992, both NASA and the World Meteorological Society reported a 10 to 25% ozone depletion measured over the northern United States, Canada, Europe, and the Antarctic. And the ozone hole is now three times the size of the United States. Did we hear about that then? Do we hear about it now? We don't. We simply get false reports. Don't worry, everything's fine, everything's recovering, go back to sleep. Those are lies. You can feel the heat of the UV against your skin. You can feel it on the surface of your car. If you get into your car, even with the ambient temperature not so hot, the interior is very hot because the UV is a very penetrating heat, a very dangerous heat. Use your sense of reason and logic and stop blindly accepting the narratives of the paid power structure so-called experts. More from this report. March 1996, the World Meteorological Agency reports the, quote, extremely worrying, end quote, development of unprecedented 45% ozone thinning over Greenland, Scandinavia, and Western Siberia. Did we hear about that then? No. Do we hear about it now? No. Another excerpt, summer 1997. The report states this. Research from the Antarctic Marine Living Resources Program find that, quote, krill abundance in the Antarctic Peninsula region is down 60 to 90% since the early 1980s. 60 to 90%, and that report is from 21 years ago. How many citizens in any industrialized nations had any clue how bad it was then? How many? And it's much worse now. Is it any wonder the oceans are completely imploding? And climate engineering and contaminating of the upper atmosphere from nuclear industries, primary causes. And these are existential threats. Again, I can't clarify that enough. Existential threats. Now, given the fact that the food chains are collapsing, both aquatic and terrestrial, fish stocks, crop harvest, so forth, given the fact that the climate is collapsing, we don't face some long, drawn-out global warming scenario over decades or centuries, as media and the power structure would still like us to believe. We face an abrupt climate collapse. It's happening now. Given all that, given the increasing pressure that puts on power structures, given the increasing desperation we see from them, how is all of this impacting global populations? Let's backtrack several months to a headline report from moderndiplomacy.eu and other sources, a glimpse into the truth about agendas of the completely out of control U.S. empire and the cast of criminals who represent it. And this is not to advocate for other governments. I always have to clarify this. I am not pro any other government. They are all criminal, all dangerous, but the government that commands the military that's bigger than the next 10 militaries combined is the most dangerous. That's a mathematical, statistical fact from the front lines. Now, here's the headline. Blaming Iran for Yemen's sufferings is laughable. This weaves all into the whole. Follow me with this. Mike Pompeo, U.S. Secretary of State, claimed that Iran is prolonging suffering of the Yemeni people. Iran is doing this by supporting the Houthi rebels. The new U.S. leadership is resorting to every ploy and lie they can muster up to demonize Iran. I've been over this every week, almost. We have war criminals like John Bolton stating on the record that we'll be in Iran in 2019. That's their agenda. Agenda that started immediately after, or before 9/11, but 9/11 was used as a catalyst to get us to this point. I've covered all this very thoroughly. But we have Pompeo now blaming what's happening in Yemen on Iran. The new project of Iranophobia, that's rightfully called, it's intensified since Pompeo was confirmed as Secretary of State in late April. He seemed to be superseding in animosity against Iran, even in comparison to John Bolton, who I just mentioned, the national security advisor to Trump. It's quite clear to the entire world that it is Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and the United States, all allies, which have created human tragedy in Yemen by strangulating and starving millions of people in this poor Arab country. The people around the world know that it was Saudi Arabia that started the war in Yemen in March of 2015, and it is Saudi Arabia, along with its coalition partners, which erroneously think that they should pound Yemen until it surrenders. If the U.S. had been really concerned about the suffering of the Yemenis, it would have put pressure on Saudi Arabia to end the war. The despotic dictatorship in Saudi Arabia that beheads dissenters, and we treat them as allies, as the current administration has sold them so many weapons, so did the former administration and the one before that. But at what point do Americans face reality? This is about power. It's about empire. It's not about democracy. It's not about justice. It's not about human rights. The report finishes with this. The irony is that the U.S. itself is an accomplice in this tragedy. It not only sells arms to Saudi Arabia and its coalition partners, it also shares intelligence with them and refuels their fighter jets in midair. Vicious attempts by Pompeo to fault Iran for the human tragedy in Yemen are flawed, lamentable, and also laughable. Absolutely, tragically laughable. How completely transparent is the demonization of Iran? Completely transparent for any that have actually examined the facts and who don't have their eyes wide shut. I'll state again for the record. In the last 100 years, the U.S. has invaded and or occupied nearly 100 countries. In the last 230 years, Iran has invaded exactly no one. With those facts in mind, consider this statement of total absurdity covered in a headline from last week from Trump. Iran's sanctions against oil are to stop death and destruction caused by Iran. Really? It's Iran invading countries, destabilizing them, bombing them. That's not the case. I'm not advocating for the government of Iran, but I'm simply stating a fact. It's not the case. Blind flag waving in America, pretending that the empire's destructiveness overseas is okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And that's not patriotism. Said it over and over. I'll continue to say it. And there's this reminder headline from late September. Consider the Orwellian absurdity of the statements that were made, which this report covers. Quote, Iran leaders sowing chaos and death and destruction, Trump tells UN. That's completely false. It's completely false. Why do Americans ignore what is easily recognizable lies? Absolute lies. Who's in whose country bombing who? Who's along whose borders carrying out military exercises? In the case of China and Russia, we're on their borders carrying out massive military exercises. Would we tolerate that? Would people in the U.S. tolerate that? But yet the hypocrisy goes so deep that we think they're the ones prodding us. Absolute nonsense. And it doesn't matter who's in the White House. I'm sorry if whatever side of the fence you're on, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It's all a facade. What is the most vast and destructive form of covert terrorism on the entire planet? The climate engineering weather war for insanity that's being carried out against the U.S. population by our own government. Who's the biggest terrorist organization on the entire planet? Who's sowing the most chaos, death, and destruction? The country that I stated with by far the most massive and most out-of-control military on the planet. The country that is by far the greatest participant in the catastrophic global climate engineering weather warfare assault that is wreaking havoc on Earth's climate, life support systems, and human health, as I already covered. And on that note, in regard to the exponentially increasing waves of refugees all over the world. And no, these aren't primarily migrants. They're refugees forced to flee collapsing ecosystems that are causing mass starvation, which is just beginning. And what's the single most environmentally destructive factor on the planet at this moment in time? Short of nuclear cataclysm, global climate engineering weather warfare operations. That's our greatest nemesis. And that is at the core cause of the latest cataclysms in the West, many cataclysms all over the world, climate engineering, single greatest destructive factor on the planet today. Moving on, with that in mind, and considering the drought-causing ability of the climate engineers, consider this headline. Changing climate forces desperate Guatemalans to migrate. What's this migration about? It's about this. Drought and shifting weather are making it difficult for many small-scale farmers to feed their families, fueling a human crisis. These are refugees. They're refugees being used for political fodder. And the rain being cut off, and climate engineering can and is cutting off the rain to any country that doesn't toe the line for the U.S. power structure, period. And by the way, in many ways, that includes parts of our own country. Excerpt from this report. Eduardo Mendez Lopez lifts his gaze to the sky, hoping to see clouds laden with rain. After months of subsisting almost exclusively on plain corn tortillas and salt, his eyes and cheeks appear sunken, his skin stretched and thin over bone. The majority of his neighbors look the same. It's the height of the rainy season in Guatemala, but in the village of Concaste, the rains came too late, too little, then stopped altogether. Menendez Lopez's crops shriveled and died before producing a single ear of corn. Now, with a dwindling supply of food and no source of income, he's wondering how he will be able to feed his children. He said this, "This is the worst drought we've ever had." Towing parched earth with the tip of his boot. "We've lost absolutely everything. If things don't improve, we'll be forced to migrate." Refugees. That's what I stated somewhere else. We can't go on like this. The report continues, scientists attribute the unusually severe droughts to climate change, but in fact, what are they ignoring? Climate engineering against any country that doesn't conform, and even against countries that do in many cases, to U.S. policy. And it's not just our country engaged in these programs either. Again, it's China, Russia. They're all colluding and cooperating on this. It's a global power structure in the climate engineering sense. Data from Customs and Border Patrol show a massive increase in the number of Guatemalan migrants, particularly families and unaccompanied minors. Many consider migration to be their last option, one that comes with tremendous risks to their personal security and unthinkable consequences if they're unable to complete the journey. These are migrants. Understand the facts when other narratives are being pushed for the distraction of the population. Moving on. Pompeo warns of severe swift punishment and painful business with Iran as sanctions reinstated. The U.S. reimposed sanctions on Iran targeting the Islamic Republic's energy, banking, and shipping sectors. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo warned of, quote, swift punishment for other countries doing business with Iran. How are they punished? In many times ways that the population doesn't even understand are happening. Climate engineering, the covert weapon of power, the crown jewel of the military-industrial complex with which they can topple a nation without that nation ever even knowing they were at war. Over and over, as I've covered in previous broadcasts, Japan, case in point, Japan beginning to ally with its regional partners, including China, just prior to the devastation of Japan by what many still believe were natural events. But were they? Were they? When we know we have the ionosphere heaters I just described, the signals from which, the microwave transmissions from which can be bounced off the reflective particles in the atmosphere and transmitted back down into Earth's strata. What happens when you microwave a seismically sensitive location for an extended period of time? It can cause seismic activity. MIT, as I've stated already, acknowledged extremely anomalous and unexplainable atmospheric heating in the days prior to the Japanese quake directly above the epicenter. Connect the dots. On that note, let's listen to this excerpt from former government scientist and internationally recognized geoengineer Ken Caldera. Listen closely.
I used to work at Lawrence Livermore National Lab, and I once participated in a meeting where we all sat around the room and thought about how could we manipulate geophysical systems to use it as a weapon. The meeting was about weaponizing geophysical interventions. That means, you know, could you somehow interfere in Earth functioning in a way that you could use it as a military weapon? Could you change climate? What could you do in terms of manipulating the sort of Earth's physical systems to as a weapon? Well, you know, some of the ideas were okay, we could blow up hydrogen bombs, you know, underwater, offshore, and make a tidal wave that would go over a city. And, you know, the result was, well, isn't it easier just to drop the hydrogen bombs on a city? You know, that there are, now you could imagine, though, say, putting pathogens in a cloud. Let the cloud, you know, go over somewhere and then would rain down on your enemy and create, you know, do chemical or term warfare in this kind of way. And that might work against something that I would say is big as the former Soviet Union, where, you know, you could be pretty sure that within a few days that cloud would rain out.
How utterly shocking and alarming is that statement, those statements from former government scientist, internationally recognized geoengineer Ken Caldera. That's what our government is in the business of doing. This is an empire. It's not about freedom and democracy. It never has been. When will that become evident to the U.S. population that our government doesn't care any more about us? Those who truly control the levers of power do not care any more about us than they do the Yemenis, the Palestinians, or the Iraqis, or Afghanis, or any other group of individuals. The American population is increasingly a liability to those that wield the levers of power. that control the government, those who print the money, those who control the central bankers, ultimately in charge of all of it. The U.S. population, an increasing liability. And what is happening now in our country can only be considered unbridled weather warfare. The train is completely off the tracks in countless ways, and those who don't yet get it, please wake up. Please stop being willfully blind. This road leads to near-term planetary omnicide, and if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. If you're going along with the status quo, you're a part of the problem. Here are some thoughts, some quotes to ponder. Martin Luther King so correctly stated this: he who accepts evil without protesting against it is actually cooperating with it. Another quote from Edmund Burke: all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing. This quote, sent by a friend: I wish it need not have happened in my lifetime, said Frodo. This is from The Lord of the Rings, but it has particular relevance. So do I, said Gandalf, and so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. Allowing ourselves to become paralyzed with angst is a mistake. We must always remember what belongs to us, what is in our control and what is not. Consider and remember this always: our will and the correct use of it is all that we can ever truly call our own. It's all that is truly in our control. I just finished a week of operating a 30,000-pound D6 Caterpillar bulldozer in the forest around my off-grid home. I had a number of objectives: to provide some wildfire protection for my family and home from inevitable firestorms that will come, to ensure brush-free paths to sources of water for the remaining wildlife in our once-thriving forest, and to clear out sediment buildup in several now dried-up ponds so that they will hold water longer when the rains come. No matter how dark the horizon, small steps forward with the time that is allotted us still matters. And collectively, with all of us taking such steps, who can say what good we may yet accomplish? Even at this late hour, seemingly small events that occur on our path can have deeply moving significance. During the last week in the forest operating this bulldozer, I experienced a case in point. In one of the dried up pond basins, I was saddened that I didn't reach the location in time to try to save some of the many large bullfrogs that once made this basin their home. In the drying mud at the bottom of the basin, the telltale tracks of every forest predator imaginable were highly visible. Bear tracks, cougar, foxes, bobcats, all desperate for a meal of frogs, as there is now very little food in the dying forest. And due to the pond drying up, there was no longer any place of safety for the frogs. All were gone. After tracking back and forth through the dried out basin to clear it out in hopes that it may help to save some future frogs, beyond all the odds, I caught sight of a very large bullfrog that had somehow miraculously managed to survive all that I have described. He was desperately trying to climb out of the chaos from removing this material from the basin where it seemed there was no life. Truly, I was shocked and moved nearly to tears. I shut off the bulldozer. I leapt to his aid. I cut a hole in a gallon jug I had, placed him gently inside, where I left just a bit of water for him to sit in. Perhaps this was the first moisture he had experienced for who can say how long. At the end of the day, I took him to a pond where there was still some water in another location, a pond that still had other frogs. I released him there, still amazed and shocked that he had somehow survived. And I again mathematically can't imagine how he survived everything: the predators for who knows how long, the dried pond, the bulldozer tracks going back and forth removing the debris and material from the bottom of this basin. I can't imagine how he survived. The next day, against even greater odds, the same experience occurred again. A second big bullfrog was saved. Two survived of many. But for me, those two had immense significance, immense meaning, that against all odds, nature finds a way. We must remember this. We must remember we are part of the whole. We must remain at our posts. So long as there is any fish, frogs, birds, bats, bears, bees, trees, anything that survives, anything that is willing to continue playing its part in the play, we must never yield. If our collective efforts can wake the masses, we have a chance to change course. Share credible data from a credible source. Make your voice heard. No matter how dark the horizon, it's not over till it's over. We are only beaten if we give up. This we must never do. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.